There are times in our lives, scary, unsettling times, when we know that we needed help or answers, but we're not sure what kind or even what the problem or question is. We look and look, tearing apart our lives like we're searching for car keys in our couch, and we come up empty-handed. Then when we're doing something stupid, like staring at the dog's mismatched paws, we stumble across what we needed to find. Or even better, it finds us. It wasn't what we were looking or hoping for, which was usually advice, approval, an advantage, safety, or relief from pain. I was raised to seek or achieve them, but like everyone, I realized at some point that they do not bring lasting peace, relief, or uplift. No, more often than not, the North Star that guides me through the darkness is the Old Testament prophet Micah. He must have looked like a complete stoner or a Game of Thrones extra and smelled like a goat. Yet nearly 3,000 years ago, he spoke the words that often remind me of my path and purpose. Quote, "What doth God require of thee but to do justice and to love mercy and to walk humbly with thy God," end quote. Oh, is that all? Justice, mercy, and humility. That's nice. Right off the bat, I can tell you that walk humbly with thy God is not going to happen anytime soon for me or my closest friends. Arrogance are us. What Micah is talking about is grad school curriculum. While spiritually speaking, I remain in junior high school, superior and cringing at the same time. And to do justice may be a trick. Since we all think we do this anyway, we think that if our values aren't the correct ones, we would have other ones, which would then be the correct ones. If nothing makes people happier than service, especially to the poor, why not tap into the model of the Buddha, Jesus, or Wavy Gravy? The knowledge that if you do loving things, you'll have loving feelings. Here's how. We're so often rattled by lingering effects of trauma and paralyzing fear. But let's say we believe that mercy and forgiveness are in fact foundational, innate, what we are grown from and can build on. Also that they are hard to access because of these traumas and fears. What if we know that forgiveness and mercy are what heal and restore and define us, and that they actually are the fragrance that the rose leaves on the heel that crushes it? Why today is it absolutely all I can do to extend mercy to myself for wanting to nip an annoying relative's heel like a river rat? Forget extending mercy to this relative who is so messed with me and my son, she doesn't even know she needs my mercy. She thinks she is fierce and superior, while I believe she secretly ate her first child. Horribly, she is perfectly fine. I'm the one who needs mercy, my mercy. The need for this, for my own motley mercy, underpinned most of my lifelong agitation, my separation from life and self. Just to hear the words mercy or merciful can transform the whole day because, as the old saying goes, the soul rejoices in hearing what it already knows. That's from the opening of Hallelujah Anyway, Rediscovering Mercy, the newest nonfiction tome from Anne Lamott. Well, mercy, the word can mean many different things to many different people. We just heard a little bit there from our author. And indeed, for Anne Lamott, the word has several different flavors, as she tells us throughout her book. We just heard one definition there. She goes on to give us several others as we read on. For instance, she tells us that mercy means compassion, empathy, a heart for someone's troubles. It's not something you do. It is something in you, accessed, revealed, or cultivated through use, like a muscle. We find it in the most unlikely places, never where we first look. And in another place, she tells us that, quote, "Mercy means that we no longer constantly judge everybody's large and tiny failures, foolish hearts, dubious convictions, and inevitable bad behavior. We will never do this perfectly, but how do we do it better? How do we mostly hold people we've encountered with the understanding of a wise, caring mother who has seen it all, knows that we all struggle, know that on the inside we're as vulnerable as a colony of rabbits?" Yes, whatever we define as mercy, author Anne Lamott writes that we need to rediscover the quality and the practice of mercy. It's a virtue, a blessing that is in much need today, And granted, we don't need Anne Lamott to tell us that. We kind of need to hear her say it, though, so we can say hallelujah anyway. And we do benefit from Anne Lamott's book, a hybrid mix of personal stories from Ms. Lamott and thoughtful commentary that she draws upon by religious leaders of several faiths, all combined to enlighten and open our minds to the reasons for, the benefits of, the evidence for the fundamental grounding of mercy in our world. The first chapter, Hallelujah Anyway, takes us through the phases of our lives from childhood, adolescence, adulthood, the end, pointing out how mercy pokes its way into our best moments and also into our worst, letting us know that mercy exists for us and for others, but then runs away, is lost from our sight and our experience. All too often, Lamott commiserates with us, we're left lost and way too open to temptation once again. It is the second chapter where we learn that it's okay to unfold, as the poet Rilke put it, to allow ourselves, as Lamott writes, to build on what is broken. She calls it un-American because most of the time we throw what is broken away, cover it up with a doily or patch the crack so we can still sell the item. This other way, this painting it with gold, with celebrating the brokenness in our lives, is to save our valuables, and with our own hands, to pass them on to our children, our nieces, our nephews. Auntie's chipped Inuit carving, Uncle Will's journals. And if they toss Uncle Will's journals, rich in memories and minutiae of this family story, well, that's on them, not our fault, for once. Reason enough to get out that gold leaf patina. We are invited to be part of creation, like planting shade trees for children whose parents were born last week. She's not being political here. She's being cultural. It's okay, she writes, to return to our earliest years of emotional lives as humans, to allow mercy to be a natural part of what we offer ourselves and to others, because in our very earliest years, we hadn't yet learned to modify our merciful selves to fit into the walled-off emotional world that adults in our lives want us to have, that reward us for becoming. Lamott has a gift for telling us biblical truths through modern-day stories drawn in this book from her own life. In one point in our reading, she writes about the oft-told story of the Jewish traveler who was saved from death on the roadside by the hated Samaritan, setting the story in contemporary biblical understanding and then adding her own tale of coming to terms with sobriety, telling us of the mercy shown to her friend of hers by others, and ultimately by the friend himself, a tale that speaks to us from the here and the now of today, as well as of yesterday. And so it is that new and old, old and new, tales that relate the mercy shown to and by the Apostle Paul and the prophet Micah, accept the thorn and accept the bread, the story of Ruth and Boaz, we can and do learn from the wealth of Scripture Lamott puts before us, and from the secular too. She quotes from Orson Welles, the poet Rainer Maria Rilke, from popular culture guru and theological Frederick Buchner, from dream interpreter Carl Jung, medieval saint politician Thomas Merton, the Dalai Lama, of course the Old Testament, the rabbinical tradition, one of my enduring heroes, the Jesuit Teilhard de Chardin. They're all quoted here and quoted appropriately enough for the milieu in which they find themselves. They're not ripped off and ripped out of context, as they might be in other self-help books. Hallelujah Anyway is, in the end, a book about and for Christians. It is a book that draws from many religious traditions, but it is at its core the author's wrangling with the quality, the virtue of mercy, as seen through her Christian worldview. As Lamott herself wrote about her writing back in the year 2008, quote, I try to write the books I would love to come upon, that are honest, concerned with real lives, human hearts, spiritual transformation, families, secrets, wonder, craziness, and that can make me laugh. When I am reading a book like this, I feel rich and profoundly relieved to be in the presence of someone who will share the truth with me and throw the lights on a little. And I try to write these kinds of books. Books for me are medicine. Well, indeed, let's end with a little bit of Lamott's humor and thoughtfulness and sincerity by reading from Hallelujah Anyway, Rediscovering Mercy. As she writes, God doesn't give us answers. God gives us grace and mercy. God gives us her own self. Left to my own devices, I would prefer answers. And this is why it is good that I am in charge of so little, the pets, the shopping, the garden. My friend Anne plants flower beds of white impatience every year because they reflect moonlight in a dark sky. My friend Jay's people in their funky chairs shared their love and memories. Every release inside us releases whatever energy inside us tethered Jay here to this realm that was just too awful for him. We were saying, this is hard, but not as hard as it was for you here, weighted down by the anchors of so-called reality. So go now. Go. Unfettered. And this. Mercy began as forgiveness, and then became, here's the food you need, and why don't you put your roots down here? Mercy is, let's be brothers again. Let's sit at table. Forgiveness and mercy mean that bit by bit, you begin to outshine the resentment. You open the drawer that was shut, and you take out the precious treasures that you hid there so long ago, and with them, the person who marvels at tadpoles, who pulls for people to come clean and then have a second chance, who aches and intervenes for those being bullied, forgives the evil brothers, and unforgivable you. We are all gigantically flawed, such screw-ups. Everyone is broken, clingy, and scared, even the people who seem to have it most together. We are brothers, or at least we were as children. Maybe we temporarily wanted people who hurt us to be punished, but then we couldn't bear for them to suffer or be humiliated because we saw ourselves in them. My older brother used to hit me pretty hard and get sent to his room without dinner, but I'd sneak him oranges later. And as she finishes the book, so will we finish our review. Anne Lamott writes, "The world keeps going on. You can have yet another cup of coffee and keep working on your plans, or you can take the risk to be changed, surrounded, and indwelled by this strange, yeasty mash called mercy. Therefore, the asking at the frog pond, the River Jordan, the channel that flows between the lagoon and the sea." What a read. Hallelujah Anyway, Rediscovering Mercy by best-selling author and fun-to-read author Anne Lamott. It's available at all of our fine local libraries, including, of course, the West Lafayette Public Library.